Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 25 we'll look at today. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, to go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have.' Now I have heard that you have shearers, your shepherds here with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under the cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed, and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my lord be as Nabal. And now this present, which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your maidservant." Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and said to her, Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. And it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. She arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. So the last time we've been looking at the life of David here, and he's been on the run now from Saul for quite some time with his 600 men who were with him, those who were despised or discontented, those who were not fitting in with society, and they followed David. So David is still on the run here, and we'll go through this passage and make some applications and see what the Lord would have for us. Verse 1 refers to Samuel, and we hadn't heard about Samuel for some time, and Samuel passes away here in verse 1, and it's interesting to see that even with Samuel, who had been judging over Israel at this time, no longer in the picture, the Lord was not going to forget Israel. He was still going to have somebody, and that was person was going to be David in order to keep order, as it were. David is not there yet, so it is sad that Samuel had died and everybody mourned him, but we see that the Lord's plans for Israel are not done at this point. Interestingly enough, we'll see maybe later on in the book, this isn't the last time we hear of Samuel, even though he died, so stay tuned or read ahead, but this is the end of this man's life. And as we get to this story of David, we're going to notice David as a character, and Nabal, and then Nabal's wife Abigail. So we'll keep those three people in mind as we go through this story here. Nabal was a very rich man, and he had a lot of possessions. And as we read and heard later in the story, that name Nabal means fool. And not certain if that was his given name. I would guess maybe not. But those around him would call him that. Or maybe it was even because of this story that he was given this name of fool. Often in the Old Testament, for example, when a place is given a name, some event happened at this place, and so that place was called this name, but it had already been given that name in the story. So I wonder if the same is here. And maybe Nabal was given that name because of how he acted in this situation. So we see Nabal, very rich, has a lot of livestock, a lot of animals, a lot of servants. And then we see Abigail, and she's described as a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. Only 2 other women in the scripture were referred to as beautiful appearance, and those were Esther and Rachel in the Old Testament. So just an interesting point to note. And that's in contrast to Nabal, who was harsh and evil in his doings, we find in verse 3. So that kind of sets the scene, and we kind of can already tell from the story what a little bit about these individuals and how they will, how they may act before we even read the story. And the setting for this is what Nabal would have all these possessions, and the sheep he would have would at a certain time of year go to the shearers, and the wool would be sold, and that's how Nabal would make more money. He would sell this wool, and he would get money for it, and his riches would continue. And this is the time when this story takes place. From the verses we read, it's maybe not as obvious, but David would have been protecting all of Nabal's goods. In those days, it wasn't as easy to, well, I don't know about today either, but maybe not as easy to have to protect your animals and things like that. There would be thieves who would come, or the Philistines even, who would come on raids, and they would steal whatever they could. And David and his men had provided this service of protection. And again, it's not really made very clear, but Nabal would have known that this happened. There was an agreement or some sort of acknowledgement that David's men would do this. And David sends his men at this time to ask Nabal for payment or some. In verse 8, it says, "Give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." David doesn't come demanding anything, and he's very polite. Says he has them say peace to you. He doesn't come in a very demanding way, as I said. And he also comes at the time when the sheep are being shorn. So he would know that that Nabal would have money. He wasn't demanding it at a time, maybe in low season. But this is when Nabal would be having this, and it was a feast. Oftentimes, shearing time would have been a feast, all this rejoicing. In verse 8, it says, "We come on a feast day." So this is kind of the scene here where there is this agreement or acknowledgement between David and his men and Nabal, and David's sending his men. They would like food and supplies. They're still on the run, but they perform this service for Nabal and are looking to for payment for it. And it was warranted. They were in the right to ask for something like this. But Nabal, we see in verse 10, his response to what David's men had said, and knowing that background, it's very fit for Nabal, who's described as someone who's harsh and evil, to not uphold his end of the bargain. But we see what he says. He says, "Who is David?" in verse 10, and "Who is the son of Jesse?" It seems like he's pretending to not know him, but really he's almost saying, who does he think he is asking for this payment, even though it was warranted to ask for this. And make the application here, David often being a picture of the Lord Jesus, Nabal being someone who would represent the wicked people of this earth, we think of how the Lord would have been rejected. Who is this Jesus? Who is this from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is what the people of the world would have said to the Lord Jesus. And we see and can make this application here. This is what Nabal said of David. He calls him a runaway servant, someone who is on the run, someone who should be disregarded. He insults David and his men. "I don't even know who you are, these men who protected me. Why am I going to give you from my riches?" And he refers to it as his riches. Another application for us. Everything we have, I know it's a mindset that we should have, and sometimes it's tough to do. But everything, our material possessions, everything we've been given has been given to us by God. And if we're going to give to others, it's by the grace of God that we can actually give it. But Nabal being this wicked man and this selfish man, everything was from him, and he wasn't going to even spare some of his riches for these individuals. We see later when Abigail goes to make peace with David, how quickly she was able to get so many resources. Nabal must have been so rich. There was already 5 sheep already dressed. They were already ready to go, ready to be eaten. All these different foods, these delicacies were ready. Nabal had all this, and he wasn't even ready to share that with some individuals who actually deserved this payment. And that's how wicked and selfish our flesh is also. We think of ourselves, that's how we naturally are. That's how people naturally are selfish. But this example here of Nabal is something we are not to follow, of course. So David's young men, in verse 12, they turn back and they tell David, and David is understandably very angry, but David takes it too far. David is ready to go out and kill everyone from that family, to attack. And he later said he wasn't going to leave any man alive that day. And that is not the right anger to have. David was upset at being insulted. It was an attack on his ego, almost. And how often we might do things like that, where someone insults us and we immediately want to lash out and take action. It wasn't that Nabal insulted the Lord or God. Nabal insulted David himself, and David took that personally. We have seen that David has been on the run from Saul, and in every instance with Saul, David recognizes him as the Lord's anointed, and he takes his actions reflect that. He's serving the Lord, and he's not going to put his hand against the Lord's anointed. But this person who insulted him, he's going to send everything he has at him. So the application here, it seems in this case, David is actually being what we see in the New Testament, a respecter of persons. He's respecting, he's choosing, as it were, to hold someone to a different standard because of their position. And that's also an example that we are not supposed to follow. Whether someone has a certain status or someone doesn't, we're to treat them with this respect. And David did not consistently do that. He took this very personally. So there are, in this story, David, there are things to learn from David, and he needed to be corrected. We see a little more insight into Nabal's life in verses 14 through 17. The servants come to Abigail and they realize how bad Nabal is. They realize that they shouldn't have done that. Nabal said this thing, and if maybe out of fear, they know who David was. If something didn't happen, they were going to be in danger. And it says in verse 17 at the end, "For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak of him." In the New King James, it says that. But it had, that word actually means son of Belial, that word scoundrel. Now, the word Belial means wickedness or worthlessness. Some other people who were called sons of Belial were the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who completely disregarded the priesthood and what it stood for. They were very evil. And in the New Testament, Paul uses that word Belial. You might see it in the King James, capitalized with a capital B. Paul refers to it in 2 Corinthians as the ultimate wicked one, referring to Satan himself. So kind of for that capital B, Belial, that's the ultimate wicked one. But here in the King James, I think it says son of Belial. But that kind of gives it that understanding that it's wickedness. It's somebody who's completely wicked, and that's who this Nabal was. One cannot speak to him, it ends in verse 17. An application to take here, I mean, as a boss or someone who's over you, how awful that the people who work for you are saying this of you. And it says in Paul's writings, in the epistles that we've been studying on Wednesday nights, masters are to behave in a way that your servants respect you, and you're not to treat them poorly. So again, we see the antithesis here in the New Testament of Nabal and what we are not to do. Can apply that to ourselves as well. And we come now to Abigail and how she behaves in this situation. She reacts quickly. She calls herself a servant in verse 24, and she behaves very quickly. She was the wife of Nabal, but she saw who her allegiance and who her servanthood really lay with, and that was with David. Again, a picture of Christ. And she made haste, and as a servant, that is a characteristic to have. And she rode out, verse 20, with all of these supplies. She sent them ahead, and then David explains to her that no one is going to stay alive in this house of Nabal today. And she goes through, and starting in verse 23, she explains to David and just has this explanation. And this is really what David needed to hear. And this passage might be kind of confusing, but the New King James and maybe other translations have it too. There's There's the word Lord, L-O-R-D, without capitals, referring to David. She calls David Lord, someone who would be over her as a respectful term. But then there's the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals probably in your translation, and that's the Lord God. So if your Bible has those differentiated, it'll be easier to follow in these verses. But she takes the humble place, and she's really, from a personal perspective, pleading for her life and the life of her servants and for her husband in this way. So we see that from a personal side. But there's a few points I'd like to point out where David needed to hear these points so that he could realize how he was wrong in this situation. So Abigail in this place is taking the humble position. She is referring to herself as a servant. And in verse 26, it says, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and avenging with your own hand, let your enemies seek." So she's appealing to David, showing, hey, you are not going to do this. And because you're not going to do this, here's the rest of the things that will happen. And I think that must have, starting there, must have struck David, or David must have really been listening. You see, he doesn't interrupt at all. And I can just picture David hearing all of these words and thinking about each of them. Verse 28, "The Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house." This is something that the Lord had promised David, that he would become, he would ascend to this place of power. His house will be an enduring house. Continuing on in the verse, "Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord." David was faithful in the battles of the Lord previously. In this instance, this was not a battle of the Lord. This was a battle that David wanted to fight for himself. But Abigail brings this to mind, that David would fight what the Lord would have for him. And I'm sure right then David realized this was not something that the Lord was having him to do. In verse 29 and 30, Abigail is saying, let the Lord basically put all the enemies in a sling and throw them far from David. And I'm sure as soon as David heard that word sling, he could remember how he overcame Goliath with that sling. And that in that instance, it wasn't he who did it, he physically did it, but it was the Lord who brought that victory. And again, calls to mind that he was not acting rightly in this situation. And in verse 30, she brings to mind, "He has spoken concerning you," that's the Lord, "and has appointed you ruler over Israel." She knew that David was going to be the rightful king, and she knew that that would come to pass, and David almost had lost sight that the Lord was going to make him ruler over Israel, and it was going to be through him and his timing that all these things would come to pass. Again, something David lost sight of here in this moment of weakness for him. And we see David's response here in verse 32, and just how thankful he is for keeping him from reacting this way. And sometimes we need that ourselves. Sometimes if we are quick to react, especially if someone wronged us, it's even more difficult to, sometimes we would get into disagreements with one another, and it's very difficult to handle that. Sometimes we might be wrong, and maybe it's a simple disagreement. But how much more difficult it is when we're actually right and we are wronged to behave in a way that's not disrespectful or rash in our anger. And David behaved this way, even though he was in the right. But he realizes this wrong, and sometimes if we're corrected, it might cause us to double down in anger, as it were, and get even more angry. But David is able to accept this correction. And in verse 32 through 35, we see this. And it was interesting in verse 34, "By morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. If any of the servants, or if Nabal himself came to David, some of these male servants, then everyone would have perished. But it was a woman, Abigail, who came and spoke to David and was able to show David where he was wrong." And this concludes with Abigail going back to Nabal, and there was Nabal again, being selfish, being evil, thinking of only himself, having a feast in his house, the feast of a king it adds that word there. Nabal thought he was a king. He thought he should be treated in a way that a king should be treated, where David was the rightful king, who would be king. But Nabal's heart was merry within him, and he was very drunk. Reminded of, in Luke, that parable of the rich man who would have all these riches, and he wouldn't know what to do with them all. He's, well, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. But the Lord would say that night his soul would be required of him. What are these riches going to do for you? And that's exactly what happens to Nabal here. When he's told of this, of what had happened, his heart became like a stone. And then 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal. And the reaction of David in verse 39, first glance seems a bit out of place that he's rejoicing. But I think, again, it's this realization that the Lord, for those who follow him, he will take vengeance himself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And David is rejoicing that even when he thought he could take it into his own hands, the Lord had this plan, and he was going to avenge David, how he was wronged, and David was not going to have to do anything for it. David, all he had to do was trust the Lord. He would be protected, and he would be just looked out for in these situations. So I think that's really why David is rejoicing here. Not it, if you read it at face value, it might seem a little differently, but that's the thought in this verse here in verse 39. And then we see Abigail's commitment to David. Again, a picture of the Lord in this case, and how humble she is. And even when David asks her to be his wife, that she still considers herself this servant. And she would just wash the feet of the servants of her Lord David. Interesting note, too, that at this point, David's first wife, who he had been given for slaying Goliath, Saul had taken her away from him. David was on the run as well. But this relationship that Abigail would have with David can be a picture to us too for humility and serving the one true king who would be there. David also had a second wife, which is not part of what God's ultimate plan is for husband and wife, but it was common, more common, of course, at that time. But just to point that out, that's not God's ultimate plan for marriage, of course, as we would know. But ultimately, this story, as we looked at these three individuals, we see Nabal, the selfishness, the wickedness, and we can see that this is the hearts of all people in this world, and maybe even our flesh might behave this way, but we are to put all of that off. We see Nabal in that light. We see David, how he is a picture of the Lord Jesus, but also in this very story, he needed correction. He needed to be pointed back in the right direction, and how often we need that too ourselves. But he did behave in a way, he accepted that correction, and he was able to rejoice in the Lord for that correction too. And that is something for us to learn. And we see Abigail again as this servant, this person who took the humble place, and may we just be able to learn from these three individuals this morning. Maybe we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its vastness. We thank you for all that would be in it for us to learn from. We thank you for the portion we could study from today. We thank you for these lessons that we could learn from these characters and how we can compare them to other things in your word. We would just ask for help for us each step of the way as we would go through this world and be treated perhaps unfairly. Help us to react in the way that you would have for us. We would know that you would have been treated unfairly here too, and we would just ask for help and wisdom also that we would continue to serve you as Abigail would be a picture of too, that we would look to you as the true king and just follow what you would have for each one of us. So we would ask for help now. We ask for journey mercies on the way home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.